Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday night, everybody. Let's do this thing.
Divided soul.
Y'all get ready, so when we come back, it's on.
We gotta love ourselves.
Wednesday night, keep your mind, we got special guests. Brother Sharif from the House of Four.
Give me some pride, Lord.
Yes,
make me feel proud of myself. Let me walk with my head up high. Let me know that I'm fly. Instead of worrying about the clothes and the jewelry that don't do nothing for me. Cause I got the best, most beautiful brown or chocolate. Cocoa butter skin in the world.
Saying loud when I see wrong. Somebody's keeping songs from being strong. Music abuse when the sick gets used. Now look at all these young people confused, Lord. I've even seen old folks applaud nonsense that we cannot afford. Flashback, now ruining some box with sex and teen pop equals hip-hop stop. Our young world stars don't know who they are. Slapping rap down from high art, here's a start. Y'all know better than that. You know why? Cause y'all better than that. Give them hope, give them love, give them pride instead of turning rap in a little old trap. Not some character, know what I mean? Get some character, human beings.
Give me some pride, Lord. Make me feel proud of myself. Let me walk with my head up high. Let me know that I'm fly. Instead of worrying about the clothes and the jewelry that don't do nothing for me. Cause I got the best, most beautiful brown or chocolate. Cocoa butter skin in the world.
Is it me? Grown folks acting like kids on TV. Bothering trying to be what they see. Sitting around sipping B.E. No different than M.T. Reality trying to murder me. Oh, say, I think they still cannot see. Tired of social media asking me, Chuck D, what you think about this policy? Want to do something for the people, make us equal instead of being creatures with human features. You fail to plan, you plan to fail. 2014, 2 million folks in jail. 11-year-olds can't relate to champagne. Silent N-words in marketing campaigns. Believing anything celebrities saying. Now 40-year-olds be blinded by the fame.
Sisters, shake what your mama gave you. Ain't no sense in you shaking that thing or doing them things till you know what you're doing. Baby, I'm with you. Girl, you know we love you. We think the world of you. You're our queen. You know what I mean? We gotta love ourselves more, y'all. We gotta love ourselves. Running where you at? Throw your fist in the air if you got to go. Hey, it's gonna be hard to survive. Holding love for our
We need some progress. We ain't finished yet. We ain't finished yet. Chuck, you give me some more before we start this show. Thank you, Chuck D and Marvin Staples, for that beautiful song, Give Us Some Pride. That's a serious statement. We had a show about that last week about giving us some pride. But it's Wednesday night, everybody. We thank y'all for tuning in. Hold ye dry bones. We're doing it again, as you know. I want to thank everybody for Sunday. Oh, my goodness. The Helios Biblios Hour is phenomenal. And we're going to keep this going. Y'all tell your friends who do not go to church. They want to have a real understanding of why we call it Sunday. Okay, we back. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We're going to have one of those shows tonight. It's probably going to be too hot for everybody because, you know, we brought some special guests in tonight. So if the line goes out, I will have the guests. You continue. You know how Blog Talk may work. But tonight we got a very good brother back on the show again, Brother Sharif from the House of Thor, which is the House of Restoration Ministry. And we got another brother who I had the pleasure of meeting from the great state of Florida, Brother Greg Dawes, but he goes by the name also as DJ Squid. So he got some good information, but we will get into that briefly. I want to thank everybody again. Sunday, prepare again, 10 o'clock, Helios Biblios Hour. I need to say no more. We will have so many charts up to get the that's necessary. But you know why we do that, because we are brothers. And so forth. I want to start, as always, with what we consider the reason why we're in this condition. And we won't discuss that on Sunday, but we won't discuss that day. But we believe that if we're going to study justice, law, if we're going to study why these things are happening to us, all roads do not lead to Rome. You've been lied to. All roads do not lead to Rome. All roads lead into the northeast area, which is considered the Kemetic Trail. And this is where you'll find the balancing of the justice system of Maya, which is truth, justice, harmony, balance, reciprocity, order, and righteousness. Because of our going against the nature of the universe and of the righteousness, we are receiving the reciprocity, which comes back to you, which is in the form of debt and death, which is your mortgages, and all other things that are being brought are not prosperity to us because of our failure to follow somebody else's justice system than the one that was set up for you. But tonight, like I said, I'm going to introduce my brothers and sisters, so we want to get this show started tonight because it's going to be hot. We got one half is going to be with my brother, I believe, and we hope Brother Greg Dawes will meet us later on. I think he has also a show he was on. This brother's no joke to the scene of what's going on. He's been out there doing his thing. He's been on, like I say, quite a few talk shows. He has his own now, like I say, Thor Ministry, and he's been put in place to give people, let's just say, a more easy awareness of the credit system and how credit is used, and also how you can go into these venues and represent yourself in the most simplistic way. And I always call it, again, I'm going to create my own book, Pro Se for Dummies, because we need to know how simple this needs to be. Anything too complicated is not in our best interest. But for what it's worth, Brother Sharif and I have been doing some shows recently about the state of the country, violence, declining family, cultural abuse, you know, state, government agencies. And we'll probably keep that type of conversation going on as well, as he does explain the positions of us going into the court system and defending ourselves against creditors. I hope we got I got a lot of people online. I hope Credit Man, you with us out there in the Tampa area. I hope you out there, Brother Credit Man, Brother Kimba. I hope Brother Tony who's out there. I see Atlanta, Georgia, who is just did a series of foreclosures, and she was able to stop the foreclosures in her cases with her clients. So she'll come on later on as well. That's Sister Keela, who has some good news of her going through the courts. And a lot of people are going through the courts. This is not something new. This has been going on for some time. There's a covert war going on with the citizenry, or whatever you want to call yourself at this present time, of defending yourself. Let's just say that it's in your rights to do so. We have never been taught. It's not in our curriculum. Many of the homeschoolers that are out there listening, you need to incorporate this type of understanding of law, constitutionality. Are we in the Constitution? We'll be discussed later. I'm willing to say we're way past that. We're into a dictatorship at this present time, but it can be alleviated if you are aware of what you're in. So that we'll get into later, but we're going to deal with the present. And hopefully we'll have our brother on, who was with Brother Sharif on a few of his shows, Brother Greg Dawes out of Tampa area. His brother I spoke with personally, and we had such a good conversation. It was like, you know, homeboy talk, so we won't bring that up. But he's going to come on and talk about something that many, particularly in the black community and far-reaching beyond all communities, is an issue called child support, in which many people have experienced this experience of having to pay child support for something that you have created and cloned to the planet. That clone that you created was with somebody who initially maybe wanted to have your baby, or she was at the club that night and she had one too many, and when y'all woke up, y'all both looked at you and said, oh shit, what happened? Now, in that case, he's going to explain some things you may need to know just in case a baby or a reproduction of yourself and herself is brought into place. He would tell you the pros and the ins and outs of the legal system of how you should address going into court under this most traumatic thing called child support. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But tonight, again, I'm going to bring the brother on so we can get this conversation going. He's in a lot of directions here. He's putting together some series of, like I say, lectures that he does on his show, which is Thor Ministry. I think he is on Blog Talk as well. Go and check him out. Very informative brother. And he has a good team of people that's around him. And they generally try to get to the heart of things and bring about solutions and what's going on. They've been talking about, like I said before, marriages, disconnect between the man and the woman, economic catastrophes, lack of spirituality amongst the people. We hope to hit a few of those subjects as well. So we won't take up much time. We are going to bring in my brother because we want to get as much information out there as we can. Does he have his hand up? There he is. There we go, right there. Without further ado, I'm going to bring the sheriff in. That's Brother Sharif. For those of you know that sheriff, one who is high in knowledge of law. And come on, brother, how you doing tonight?
I'm well, brother. First of all, peace and blessings to you, to the Dry Bones. Brother, and,
thank you, man,
and his network and audience, I got to give praises to the Creator, the Most High, for allowing me to do everything that I set out to do. And also, he allows me to experience some failures from time to time that keeps me balanced with the balanced universe. So I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight to
come over and speak
with the other half of the family. Yes, sir.
That's wonderful, brother. We got a full house out there. Lights are lit up. Those of you who are on the Internet, we thank you because that's where we get a lot of people from the Internet as well. But tonight, brother, we've been noticing you've been having some I've listened to a few of myself and some of my people, and they've been some very good shows on actually going into the arena on the pro se side of things and to actually put some challenges into these credit vultures who seem to have this thing where they could just attack us without any provocation. Tell the people, you know, how you setting things up for the understanding of all this.
Yeah, blessings. You know, the creator in the universe is, you know, he's working with and adding some diversity to our platform in terms of subject matter. And I guess the easiest way for ease of exposition is to just say we're trying to touch all areas of economics for the people. But mm-hmm. with respect to the debt situation, I mean, we're elevating minds, and I think the most difficult part of Thor Ministry and Thor Radio Network is the changing of minds. You know, I'm a very assertive Leo Lion, you know, Lion of Judah type of teacher and presenter. Mm-hmm. So I think my designation is to change the mindset of people, not just be an avid teacher, but to change mindset. So I think the Creator has given me a blend to be able to get to the core of the forehead and be able to change the mindset of people on how they think and to change their dynamics. And we're doing that. I think the universe is definitely blessing us, and the people are coming, and people are getting it, and they're getting it in a short amount of time. So he's been doing well. We've been successful. We're opening eyes. I mean, we're changing landscapes, you know, everywhere. I mean, even the legal society. I mean, I have a great deal of the legal society that listens to the show. Now, I can't gauge whether that's good or bad, but I'm going to say it has to be a hybrid of the both. Some may listen to see what we're up to. Some may listen exactly. to get some strategies on how to employ those things themselves. I really think it's more of the latter than the former. But, you know, we're doing great things. At the same time, I'm bringing up the great women that the Creator has surrounded me with, and they're coming up in their education and their knowledge. And it's my goal to bring that family unit up, add to it, and just make this a movement as opposed to just a network. So they're doing great, man. On the credit side, I mean, I've just been uplifted. I have a team of young troopers, I call them, that sometime I deal with. You know, they started listening, and you know they enjoy Thor, and they started going out and helping their families, and now they're in small claims court and federal court suing debt collectors, and they're buying up all the webinars, and you know sometimes they email me, and I have to get my daughter to translate through the Ebonics. And I'm just like, man, I just thank the Creator for my young troopers, because they could be out there doing anything. Instead, they're having fun working from this angle with the legal system and having positive experiences and getting settlements. And, you know, I'm just, man, that turns me over in a great way.
I think that's where we have to really start exercising a lot of that knowledge into these young people who have the mindset to strategize, which is necessary in this arena that we talk about, because there's a strategy to this. This is not just something that come up overnight and we just pop into it. This is a chess game with this going to court and credit. Now, the subject matter that I was intrigued by when you were giving your radio show about the pro se of people, and pro se, those of you know, I'm sure, is going in there by yourself, representing yourself. There's a lot of, let's just say, fear has been placed in the minds of people when it comes to this. Give us the short end of it, you know, kind of easy end that makes people understand it more clearly, that they do have some working tools to work with in this battle before they go into the courts. What would you suggest the first steps of their search should be?
Well, I agree with you, and that's a very interesting question. I mean, when it comes to pro se litigants going in to seek redress of the court to obtain damages for alleged violations, I think the first thing we have to understand, and what we do at Thor, is to teach people first detox. Do you understand? Because there's a lot of information out there, and I think Thor is one of the most advanced in really putting people's head in the book, you know what I mean, and showing them where how it's written and explaining it and translating it. So I think it's first a mindset, and you have to understand in our public upbringings, you know, we were taught to fear this, fear that. We were taught that there were people more intelligent, more educated than us. And, you know, we're even still taught that way. I mean, we're given a boogeyman every time we turn around and we turn on the media. There's always a boogeyman. There's always
correct.
Fear movies. I mean, so those are by design. So when pro ses are going in court, I think they're intimidated and justifiably so. I mean, you're going into an environment that you really think are 20, 30 years, 30-year veterans. But I think what I teach is, the first of all, you're going to rely upon the truth and the facts, and that's always going to kill a lot quickly sometimes. But then sometimes you might have to ride on it, and you have to be able to so-called, like when you go through initiations through fraternities, they will sometimes turn you around blindfolded. They'll probably throw you up and down, have you drink a couple of boxes of water, I mean jugs of water, and then you're still supposed to be able to recite, you know, a few numbers or a few letters, and you're not able to do so because you're kind of dizzy. So
yeah,
what I tell
exactly.
people to do is understand that you're going to go into these systems, and they're going to spin you around, and they're going to throw different disco lights at you, and they're going to expect you to dance to their tune when it's all said and done. But you have to be poised. You can't have the wrong spirit about the legal system. You can't have any preconceived notions and think, oh, well, you know, they're gonna violate us, or they're corrupt, or they're crooked. By and large, you know, the court system is not corrupt. I mean, there may be some people within it that have different issues and prejudices, or may throw a few more obstacles in your way, but you got to understand the type of subject matter that I deal with consumer protection laws. I think people have a misconception on the amount of compensatory damages you are able to receive. People think, you know, it's a couple of $1,000 deal, and I think that's where they go wrong. When you go into these consumer protection law cases, you know, sometimes, I mean, even on a state court level, you know, I was reading on my show the other day how, you know, just a dunning letter from a debt collector on a time bar debt compensated a consumer $310,000. And I think people just don't really understand that. And that's just on a state court level. There's a state court case where a lady got $18 million, okay, for debt collection. You understand? There was a case where a man on an $800 debt received $125,000, you know?
Now, see, that's the stuff I want to hear right quick, because now there's many people who are dealing with debt. Let's get that. I'm sure many of the callers on here, if you're living in this corporation, you have consumed something, I'm sure. Say, for instance, I don't pay my furniture, and say, for instance, years go by, and I decide to fix this credit, and whatever, I got a whole bunch of credit, I'm fixing. So you're saying that these debt creditors are on my your so-called FICO score, and it say they're not supposed to be there, and they're supposed to contact you, from my understanding. They're supposed to let you know that they have put you on this. Is this where all this damage is coming from, because of their lack of not telling you that they put you in this situation, or how somebody gets such an astronomical amount on an $800 debt? How does that work? Because I should be rich by now.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll clean it up and I'll compartmentalize it a little bit. You know, debt collection, I think people lose sight of what debt collection, the consumer protection laws are about. The consumer protection laws are about behavior and conduct, and that's the only two words that I teach. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. You can be driving down the street, you can drop a cup of coffee, you can swerve and hit the yellow line. The police officer is going to pull up. She's going to be like, well, you know, I dropped my coffee, yeah, but, you know, you still were driving a little bit erratic. You know, you could have caused an accident, so I'm going to have to give you a ticket. It wasn't because you were right or wrong about what you did. It was about your behavior and conduct. So the same applies to debt collectors. It's not about the debt anymore, and I think people confuse that. You get an account, you don't pay your furniture bill, Jarbo's, and you don't pay it to some length of time, and they charge it off and sell it to a debt collector. A debt collector is going to buy that, and it's quite legal for them to sell a debt. It's quite legal for debt collectors to try to collect the debt. That's all legal. I don't want people to think that it's not, okay? It's not self-dealing.
Right.
It's legal. But it's the
right.
way they do it. It's the information they're supposed to tell you. It's the information that if you request, they have to comply with.
And that's where it goes wrong. Now, most of them have no choice the way the consumer protection laws are written. It's almost very impossible for them to collect the debt and not violate some provision of the consumer protection laws. And I think that's what we teach, is a little bit of style over at Thor and ways for you to think, because since it is about behavior and conduct, it's not about the debt. So they sell it to the debt collector, dry bones. The debt collector buys it, send you a notice and say, look, pay us on this money. And you ask them a question and be like, well, look, I don't know what debt you're talking about. Or you can be like, well, I'd just be part of that debt. I don't think I owe the furniture company, you know, $8,000. I think I owe them $6,000. So that is called a dispute. Once it goes into dispute, then the debt collector has to research that alleged debt, and they have to determine whether, you know, it's owed. And many times they're unable to do that because they many times can't go to the original creditor because they're passing on information that is sometimes it's part information, it's partial, it's not organized. Sometimes a lot of information is missing. The credit card company or the furniture company in this instance don't know exactly what was credited, what was not. So it's very much hearsay. And they're going to put together, you know, something that sounds familiar to you, send it in the form of a letter, and say, pay me. Now, there are certain defenses you are able to employ at that time, and you can say, well, I dispute the debt. And if they don't come back with a good validation or verification, meaning, okay, well, this is who you owe, this is the name, this is the account number, and do some other research, it becomes kind of difficult for them to collect the debt. So to be honest with you, some people just let those debts go to collection and then, you know, right, attempt to make the money off the debt collector as opposed to paying it. I mean, that's what we teach, you know, but then right, we try to teach people to be honorable as well. You know, if you owe a debt, well, and you have a legitimate debt, then we think you should take care of that. But if it's not, then we think you should use the laws that's available to you.
Well, most of the people are affected through that credit scores based upon what's
yes,
being shown. If they are found to be in negligence of not telling you that you are on that, and if they're not supposedly some people are having people give out the information, and they're seeing other agencies that are on your credit report that can have. Is this where the crime or the so-called violation comes in for these types of redress against them? Because basically,
right,
you said that
there's two elements to what you're talking about. There's debt collection, which falls under the FDCPA, which is the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and then there's Fair Credit Reporting Act, which is called the FCRA. So there's two methods. There's one that's collecting when they send you letters and demands for payments, and there's other one that is reporting to your credit bureaus. You are talking about reporting. Now, many times there's nothing criminal about reporting information to the credit. It might be violative of the consumer protection laws, but there's only one way that they can really fall into a criminal liability, okay? And that's if they obtain your consumer credit report with an impermissible purpose, meaning that it's not just, you know, if you go to your job and they pull your credit and they didn't have a permissible purpose, you didn't give them express written permission, then, yeah, that is a felony under Title 18, and they can land them up to 5 years in jail and a pretty hefty fine. But that's the only criminal element to obtaining a credit report, because your credit report has a lifelong history of probably everything you've done, all the credit purchases mm-hmm. you've made, all of your employment history, your name, your Social Security number, your date of birth, your references. You know, you can also get criminal records from some credit reporting agencies, bankruptcy information, whether you filed. And you know, it starts at the time you were, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old. So these credit bureaus are historical. Some of them go back into the 18, 1900s. When you talk about Experian. You know, that's what happens with the credit reporting. So they usually report the information to your credit, and they do so dry bones because they feel if they report it to your credit, you're going to be more enthusiastic about paying it because it's hurting your credit. They even do an assessment sometimes and see if you got bad credit. They might not report it because they feel like, look, you're not paying anybody else, so you're not going to pay us. And they might just throw it on there anyway, okay?
Right, which is something that now. So then, in the long run, then, because being that it is legal for them to do this, they have the right to Now, do they have the right to sell to third parties? Is that under the assumption of that they have the right to do
that's
that?
That's true. You can assign any debt just like you do with a mortgage, as long as you do it properly. Okay, and you do it properly, but you got to understand, in a wholesale market like the debt buying industry, a lot of times it's just like a flea market. You know, you go to flea market, you might buy a whole bunch of stuff, but all the pieces may not be there. Okay, the debt buying business is like a flea market. You might get an account, you might get a name and a number, you might get some of what they paid, you might have to piece together, you might have to guess. But see, you're running up against guesses as opposed to facts that a consumer may know. You might just do some math and be like, I don't even have all the pages to this debt. Just ask them for $2,000. And you hit that consumer that might have listened to Thor, and they say, $2,000? Oh, you know, these people like $600. And if they're smart enough to send you a notice and say, look, I dispute that. We need to figure out how I owe you $2,000. Many times these debt collectors cannot answer that question. And it puts them in a serious position, because what the damages that you're entitled to, and I'll get to that, how it comes up to that much money, is that I don't think people understand that when you start to go into the federal court and deal with the consumer protection law, specifically the FDCPA, FCRA, there's certain damages that are almost built in to those violations. Means there are other cases, tort claims and accidents and all kind of other things that you can experience actual damages, and you have to prove those damages, okay? So you have to bring in doctor's bills, and you have to bring in, and you have to prove that you went to the psychiatrist, and you have to prove that you sprained your neck. So you have to, you know, provide all the documentation that was relative to your neck being. You know, with the consumer protection laws, it's really a watered-down law to protect the basic fundamental people, not taking into effect account that they have extensive education, okay? So right. It's for the high school people that never maybe grew up on a farm, never graduated high school. It's for the least sophisticated, unsophisticated consumer. And really the courts look at consumers in the framework of consumer protection law as gullible, trusting, naive, right, and basically unschooled in law. So with those definitions, they don't make it real difficult, although the difficulty is going to be you staying within the framework of the local rules and federal rules of procedure. And that's where people, I think, get intimidated, because most of us, being in the underground, so-called, we're used to quick remedies. We're used to people saying, well, throw that out and that'll handle that, or do that and that'll handle that. So when it comes to the consumer protection laws, you do have to go in there. You have to put some studying, because you're going in there and it's presumed that if there's a violation by a debt collector, these are the type of damages you've been exposed to, Dry Bones. Damages for personal humiliation. All right, embarrassment, mental anguish, right, emotional distress. You understand? These are the things you all experience. Some people, you've opened up your line and talked to people that's upset about a foreclosure or a debt collector or somebody garnishing them, or they just got sued on a credit card. So these experiences and reactions, emotional reactions, are damages that the courts know that anybody that's been subject to debt collection will experience. So it's not like you have to go in there and prove those things. It's almost presumed. So with that in mind, if a debt collector sends you a letter past a certain statutory period, it's a violation. And this is why they're going to fight, because you can be subject to those type of damages, which the court is going to affix a pretty good compensatory amount to. So, you know, those you know, embarrassment, anger, disappointment, marital problems, all of those things are a condition that one may go through in debt collection. That's so right. We go to the courts, we don't study. We don't study the federal rules, which we have to. We don't study some cases. We don't look at examples of cases that has already won on the merits. We just kind of want the quick fix. We want a template. We want a form. We want to fill in our name. We want to change a little bit of information, and we think we're going to get, you know, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. You may get a couple of thousand dollars, you know, if you play that game a little bit, but you're not going to get the substantial money if you don't put in the time and the studying. And it's not a lot, but it's not a little. But your compensation is not a little. Okay? So
right.
We're not talking about $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 situations here. We're talking about, you know, big money if you can just follow the rules. And I think that's where people fail. I don't think the courts are corrupt. Dry bones, I think there are some knuckleheads in every occupational field. But, you know, I don't experience that. I think when you really, really know your stuff, they know you really, really know your stuff, and they're just going to leave you alone and let you go ahead and get your damages, you know. But if you don't know your stuff, then the attorneys are going to try you. They're going to try you on.
Well, you figure that take a brother as yourself. We don't like to use you as an example because you already are proficient. But those, say, for instance, in your first going, the person would probably ask, you know, we're going to court. Obviously, there's going to be some fees that have to be paid and all this so forth. In order to go the long haul, say, I'm using pro se because, again, you have that background within your lifestyle that you have been around these type of people, so it's a little bit more easy. But say for a person who say, I can do this, he's listening to you, what would you say the length of time would be with his, say, just he's learning as he go, but before he can actually think a person should sit down there and actually take that route without maybe getting some more, you know, more proficient help in understanding. I mean, because I think people who are listening really want to try it, but what would you say the length of time would take for a person to, in your estimation, to really be able to feel confident? How do you see your students and length of time they take?
Again, for the ease of exposition, I would say that to answer that question proficiently, I would say the amount of time would take based on the amount of application they want to dedicate toward learning, you know, a good bit of 10 or 15 rules of procedure and some local rules and understanding what you have to say and what you have to do. I would say if somebody really dedicated themselves to it and they really studied it as they would a job every day, I think
right.
it would take them 30 days to get a good grasp of how to use the rules.
Okay.
And then
okay.
putting together the complaint is not hard at all. So mm-hmm. far as cost, I mean, you're going to have costs initially of around $400 for most of your federal courts, on, and that's the charge to – that's the fee to file your complaint. You're going to have about $100 to serve that person, depending on whether you have one or two. It can be more. And then the rest of your costs is ink and paper and time once you get through discovery. So you're looking at costs of under $1,000 and probably
yeah.
substantially well under. Okay.
Right. And, this
and
is
I would say
I'm,
the first
asking.
The first experience you're going to have when you file that case or even when you start communicating your intent to file is you're going to get some offers to settle because these debt collectors do not want to go to court. Even if you're wrong, dry bones, they don't want to spend the money on attorneys to prove that you're wrong because that's not economically efficient. So, you know, if you know something about it, and I'm not telling people to shortcut, but if you really set your mind to it, you got 30 days. If you set your mind to it in 30 days, you should be able to go and handle your business as it relates to your debt.
And I ask that because I want people who listen tonight to not take this as some, you know, longevity thing. 30 days is not long. It's just like going to a class, a vocational class. If you look at it like that, everybody, that you're learning for 30 days, constant study. And even if you don't, in my estimation, even if you don't end up in court, look what you learned in the process of going through this. It'll help others.
Yeah, and that's great, Grabbles. I tell people that it's about what you learn because you're going to need this information because I keep telling people this is your commercial rules. Like you're going to be doing commerce more than you're going to do anything in your life. You're going to be buying, you're going to be a consumer, and you're going to be obtaining credit. You're going to be entering into contract. You do commerce more than you do anything else during the day. So I think people don't understand the significance behind knowing the rules of commerce and the rules of engagement when you're dealing in commerce, when you do it so much. So I think that's one of the biggest issues that we have is that people just don't understand how much commerce they do, and they should know these laws and these rules.
Well, you know, the thing about what you said about commerce, we have such a, has been given such the definition. Some people have it as a wicked thing because of the origins of it from the law merchants, and some people give it as, and I'm coming to that conclusion myself throughout my learnings, that we may have to just take a negative and turn it into a positive, everybody, because you are not going to get out of it at this point in time, in my estimation. You just said commerce is your holy life. You're either going to buy food, you're going to sell food, even if
That's
you're
right.
doing a picnic for church, y'all selling, you know, it's never going to end, and the earth has always been on trade. So it behooves us to now learn the game of how it could be a benefactor rather than be somebody who's always being taken prey upon. And I think these type of programs give people encouragement, because I know you said some things earlier. We've been so mesmerized by this sovereignty movement that has really made a killing off of the sheep for so many years, and only taught them to go to the slaughter, which makes them end up in jail. We want to make sure that people understand that this is almost a kryptonite against those in the credit industry, because they realize that, you know, you ain't coming with no voodoo. You coming with actual laws and facts that they need to hear. Explain to me how you approach your students who are maybe just skeptical about all that they've been around, and, you know, you're trying to get them to come around with all the with all these radios and emails and Facebooks.
Oh, yeah.
You have a litany of people. So how do you deal with a person who's sincere in heart and really wants to learn?
The adverse group of people who commingle and are very coterminous in their information, they kind of mix everything in together. They talk about the private, they talk about, you know, commerce, they talk about, you know, common law, and they talk about how do you handle the judges and how, you know, and that's my biggest challenge, because, you know, the consumer protection laws is all legal, all right? Nobody's going to, you know, be looking, you know, rolling their eyes up on the top of their head when you start talking, you know, 1692A3 and talking about the federal rules of civil procedure and the local rules and credit. I mean, people are going to, you know, that language is understood, and it's understood because that language is the language of compensation, okay? I know the laws. I engage in commerce. I'm responsible. I know what I am supposed to do as a consumer, and I know what you are supposed to do as a creditor and a debt collector. That's just responsible. I tell people all the time, how can you have the Bible on your end table and not have your consumer protection laws? They are both Bibles for the way you conduct yourself in religion, if that's what you have, and how you conduct yourself in commerce, which you're going to do far more than, you know, if you're a church-going person, you're going to do commerce more than you go to church. Yeah, we don't, you know, they don't have that in churches. That's another story. But I handle people that come in, and I tell them to detox, okay, especially if they come into Thor's environment. I tell them to detox, because I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to take you on a taxi ride around the information. I don't have a membership every month. I'm not selling books and pamphlets and CDs. You know, I try to give it to people raw, and be like, look, if you listen and you detox yourself, I'm going to put the information in you that you need, okay, and I'm going to give you enough for you to be able to go out there and hit the battlefield and do your business. So for people that come in with an open mind, 30 days, you're in and out. I mean, I have people come in all the time, be like, Brother Sharif, I got on three shows, I got you. And I open up the book, I read it, I open up the 14 pages of the FDCPA and the 70-something pages of the FCRA, and around 30 pages of the TCPA, and I looked at my local consumer protection laws, I got it, because it's all the same. They're all relative. And they move quick. They move decisively. Not everything winds up in court. I'll be honest with you. I tell people all the time, you should be very benign in your communications. That means you should just, you know, listen, this is what I'm about to do. You're basically experienced with it. You know the notice that you sent has some violations of it. I'm willing to settle before I go into the court system, because I don't want to have to go in there. And you mentioned time. How long does it take? It can take up to 18 months, you know, for a case to go front to back. They many times don't get there, all right? Most cases end in a resolution and settlement. Most of them. Some of them go to trial, okay? And when they go to trial, you know, the results are, it's pretty hefty. So most of those debt collectors will try to settle with you, and it's all about, you know, you being fair. You know, some people have retaliatory spirits. Some people are angry. Some people become abusive with the information, and that's one of the issues
right.
that, you know, we have in all societies. We become abusive when we feel we have something, and we become just as abusive as the debt collectors and some of the government and state entities that we complain about. So we all
right.
have some similar issues, and as I say on my show, Dry Bones, you know, there's a big war against spirit, love, and the family structure. And we have to really keep it in the road when we're dealing with emotions. You know, use the information wisely, and don't be an oppressor of information that is
exactly.
able to enlighten you or increase your economic value.
I think you brought some good understanding. One time I was listening to etiquette. It's a way to go in that courtroom. I mean, aggressiveness in nature, I think that causes a lot of us who deal with the police in the wrong way as well. Your aggressive nature, is, you know, it says, and I won't use this much on, but the mystery says a pair of harmless as a dove, but wise as a serpent. Many of us are going there in court as if we're alligators, and you know, by the way, they get aggressively back with an alligator coming at you. So we have to use some etiquette, which I understand you have addressed on your show a few times that I have listened to, on how to use and present this information. Do you find that mainly if we go in the courtroom with a little bit more calmer demeanor, with a more confidence, through confidence does not mean arrogance, but through confidence knowing that what we study has been inundated in us, and we can go in there and then come and present ourselves in a way where we look more, I would say, educated than we do thuggish. Where would you see the line? Because I see some videos all over the place. These cats are going in and they hardcore. And I'm gonna be honest with you, everybody listening. He did say every courtroom is not wicked. We'll discuss that a little bit later on because I think court is very Masonic in nature. And I don't know who you may be dealing with on that bench. That bench person might be a worthy master, and so would the prosecutor could be a past master, and we sit up there pretending that they're not. You know, your demeanor can destroy you. So how, outside of that, don't bring that in. I just had to put that out there. But why would you say that the courts are mainly, you know, what gives you that you know, that understanding that they mainly are on the side of the people? I mean, how did you get to that conclusion?
Well, my dealings is that I'll touch on the first part of what you said. Yeah, it's definitely you have a very confident person or consumer, since we're on that channel, doesn't have to be irate. They don't have to be rude. They don't even have to be nervous. I really have fun with the information. I know the information in my sleep. You call me 3:30 in the morning, I'm going to be able to tell you what I need to tell you, and I'm going to be able to ask you some questions and don't remember that I asked you. So it's the confidence of having the education and the information, and I can flip it up a few different ways. There's just some people are like that. So, I mean, when you have that information, you can go in, and I think the best word I can use to describe your behavior should be poised. I mean, you know there's nothing they can say. There's nothing they can do. You know the rules. You know who you are. You know who they are. You know what they've done. It's fun. And you will make so many friends. These, you know, it's always that image that you think, you know, they're correct. Look, man, they don't listen. If your writing and your diction is correct and you're saying the right things and you're abiding by the rules, and even if you make a mistake here or two, they will consider it excusable neglect, and they're going to be like, okay, well, listen, you are pro se, but I never tell people to go in with the I'm the pro se, you know, badge on their chest. I don't teach my students that. I teach
right.
you should be able to conduct yourself just as the attorneys do, because you're exposed to the same rules, probably not the education, but you're exposed to the same rules. Here are the damn rules. Follow the instructions, and don't be asking for no, you know, no leniency. You know, you want to play ball with the big boys. You want your check to be a full check. Then you don't ask for too many breaks. okay? And that's how it is.
Gotcha.
So you go in, you learn the rules, you do what you have to do, they're going to respect you. It's just period. You might have one or two that will make you do a more of an exercise or two because they want to see how good you really are. But, you know, I play ball. So, you know, I always played with guys that was better than me because I didn't want to be a scrub. I played with guys that are better. I got dunked on a lot of times, but then, you know what I'm saying, I would not, and I dunked on more people than I got dunked on. So I always played with people that were better. Some of these judges are going to want to try you on. Some of the attorneys are going to try you on because they know they don't have a case against the truth and the facts, especially someone who's marinated in that subject matter. So I don't think we have that. But, you know, when you talk about the courts and being Masonic and that science, you know, we have to understand even in that environment there is structure and there's organization. Mm-hmm. So it's not as mysterious as people think. They put the rules in front of you. I just don't think we read them. They put everything, there is nothing hidden about the consumer protection laws. And I tell people all the time, you know, they read all these documents from these gurus and they'll do all this sovereign citizen stuff and it'll be 40, 50 pages and they'll read every last one of them. But I'll ask them, did they read the 14 pages of the FDCPA? And some of them will be like, well, where did you find that? I don't understand it. Again, it's mindset. You know, because we're raised to think that everything in life is difficult. But they've made these laws just for the people, not for the attorneys, because, to be honest with you, the attorneys are subject to those laws. So they've made something for you that you didn't have to go to law school and get it, and you didn't have to read damn 8 Black's Law dictionaries and bring your Bouvier's and all those other ones. You can read those consumer protection laws and pretty much get a good understanding. And when you know that somebody is violating them, you're rewarded pretty handsomely. And I think that's the mindset we need to have. And if we keep that $300,000 in our head, I think we'll jump. We'll do a few push-ups if
well,
we
you
need.
Know, that's why we got the brother in here, Brother Sharif, connecting with the Dry Bones tonight out of the House of Restoration Ministry called Thor. He's on Blog Talk Radio. I believe they come on at 11 a.m. time Eastern.
11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays and Fridays,
Tuesday and Friday. We're going to take some calls. I see a lot of you put your hands up. We're going to also, I don't know which brother Greg Doss's last 4 digits are, but if you're on here, brother, we will get you in here. If you're not, please put your hand up. Before we go into the questions about some of the things that you're doing,
I texted to you. You didn't get it, Brother Dry? His last 4 is 9359.
Let me see if I see him on here. No, okay, his show is ending soon, so we'll go a little bit longer. 9359 is not on here yet. He said once he finished his show, he will come on. Let's talk a little bit about, because we are dealing with a lot of situations in this country. You are one who's been around, like I say, a lot of these lawyers. Why do you think that right now, the cry for justice seems to be permeating throughout this country so much? I mean, it seems to be a lot of injustices going on, or is it that the people don't really know their rights? Which one, how would you take that?
I would take it, I'll be real blunt with it, and I try to be fair about my assessment of what's going on, and it's just my opinion. I think the cry is louder because other cultures and ethnicities are realizing that we are all in the same boat and we're just slaves to the system. So I think certain other cultures' voices are a little bit louder when they speak, and others we've been whining and complaining a lot and we never can come together as a collective to do anything about it. So I think I think this 2014 year is the year of the awakening and the year of revelation, and I see both of those going on at this time. So the cry for justice, I don't know if it's for justice. I just think it's the time to not depend on the legal society, which is why one of the points you brought up was we have to learn this stuff for ourselves. We all know that there is corruption in the legal society, and we know that, you know, if you have one particular society that's responsible for the redress of a entire country, they can get together and decide what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. So that's a big mistake to depend on anybody. So we have to depend on ourselves, which is why Thor is out, to educate the people and say, look, be able to go to court your damn self. Okay, be able to go get your money, your damn self. Be able to deal with currency amongst people and barter. Be able to do everything that the government and the states do for you. Be able to do it yourself or be able to do it with your people. So I think that's the biggest message we need to get out.
And I think the people forget, if, you know, correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think the people forget that they are supposedly the government. They're supposed to be an incarnate of government, which means that they represent you. And if you the government, per se, and what we're talking about, a lot of this is our own negligence of not following up on what we believe is to be justice. I mean, we sit back and watch a lot of things go on, and we have a tendency to, like a brother like yourself who was out here, I mean, you're not making a killing off of the people. You're trying to give them some good, hardcore information that would be beneficial. It seems that we are more in tune to fantasy than we are in tune to the main reality of things that are beneficial. I mean, you had a show, your show has been going into family structure, women, catastrophes, the lack of spirituality amongst the people. What do you see, and what, you know, from all this to make you have those type of shows? You must be seeing something too, that there is some type of mental breakdown going on in America.
You're exactly right. I mean, I see a lot of destruction, and really, I think a lot of destruction, at least in certain communities, are coming. I think it's the entire country. I think our women are being used surreptitiously to wreak a lot of havoc that I don't think they believe that they're doing. I believe our government has gotten too much into the lives of the people. I believe the media has done probably one of the biggest monstrosities on the intellect of our people with this propaganda movement with the media. But, you know, I see the women being attacked, and I see them being attacked because they've kind of surgically been removed or detached from the male energy, from the man. And I see the kids has been surgically removed from the father. So once you are able to separate that family unit and structure, then, you know, it's easier to go and have the women do certain things and offer them certain benefits, you know, be it welfare, be it, you know, an advantage in a divorce, be it birth control, be it Section 8, be it all these other benefits that, you know, women take, and then they go in and, you know, once they are able to separate and move the man, the male energy out of the family and deplete the family structure, then they just go in and they dominate the women and keep the men subjugated in some way, be it the legal system, be it the child support system, be it the divorce situation, or be it, you know, our interaction with law enforcement community. I mean, you know, the man has it difficult. And then at the same time, contemporaneously, he has to go out and he has to provide, knowing that he is going to come out at the entail of any transaction where you're dealing with women. I mean, these days you would know dry bones. I mean, you almost can't get into a disagreement with a woman and they consider it verbal abusive if you say, "Nah, baby, you're not that skinny," or "Baby, you're not that big," or you know, you're a little bit plump. You know, I mean, they've made it so sensitive for our women to, you know, to say, "Oh, that's verbal abuse." You know, I mean, even with our kids,
yeah,
we can't even spank our kids anymore. Nah, you can't do that, bro. You can't spank them kids like that no more. So, you know,
that's true, man. You hit it real core. And I'm going to put this out there, brother, because I've been there. If your girl asks you, "Am I gaining weight?" Say, "No, nah, baby, you look good as you ever." Because the minute you say, "Yeah," you are going to get jacked. It will be no coochie for the rest
jacked.
Of the month. Hey, I want you to, before we bring the calls in, I got to have brothers listen to this, because no one listens to this. We tell brothers, they gave us what happened to us as this situation. I want your take on this on this 1 minute thing. I want you to give me your take after this, and then we'll start taking calls until we get brother Greg Doss, also known as DJ Square. He should be on with us shortly. Let me get your take on this. Listen to this, brother.
All right, brother.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land. in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Now, brother, I play that because for the rest of the month, I'll play different leaders from the past. Only thing he was able to do was get checked out of the earth, and we were all watched. What's your view on that before we go to some guests?
You know, Dry Bones, I try to stay neutral. I really don't look for any handouts from anybody. I pay attention to commerce. I know how to work commerce. I know how to work it to my advantage. I think we all have opportunities to be self-sufficient. And if we're self-sufficient and we pay attention to commerce, we're able to build our own communities, our own mindsets, our own families, our own wealth, then I don't ask for handouts. And it sort of goes hand in hand and current a menace to what I just said, which is I don't want any of my students going in court and being treated like a pro se. If you're being treated like a pro se and they have to give you extra bologna sandwiches and extra breaks, then your check is not going to be what it's supposed to be at the end. They're going to be like, well, you know, we helped you through the process, so we're not going to give you $300,000. We're going to give you $150,000 because, you know, you messed up. We should have threw you out of here a long time ago. So it's the same way I think about when, you know, when we talk about reparations and things of that nature. I really don't follow. I know you're a great historian, man. I've listened to your calls, Dry Bones. I meant to tell you. I mean, you can go back and brother, tear up some history. But I tend to try to chart my own history and my future. Mm-hmm. I really don't get into it as much as I would like to, but I'm just worrying about leaving a legacy for my family, my children. And I really don't get tied up into the black-white issue or into, you know, what they owe us or what they know. I didn't pick any cotton. I didn't pull any horse carriages. I don't have any firsthand knowledge. I'm not a competent fact witness to those things. I see movies, but I know not to believe all of movies. I've heard stories, but there wasn't from people that were, you know, firsthand witnesses to those events. So I really don't dive into it, brother. I wouldn't really be able to give you a response that would say, well, does the bankers, you know, create a marketing environment? Of course they do. And if you learn commerce, then you'll be able to benefit from it. Like in this society, they say you missed your president right now. There's been more millionaires made under his presidency. And I understand because everything's cheap. Labor's cheap. Debt is cheap. People are uneducated.
Right.
You know, they're hitting you with those debt collectors coming in there, you know, masquerading as creditors and taking your money, garnishing your wages, taking your homes. I mean, everything. So, yes, I mean, you could become a millionaire too, you know, if you focus, okay, and if you have the wrong or the right spirit, if you don't give a damn about people, you can go out there and open you up a debt collection business, and I bet you you'll get 7 out of 10 people by sending them a letter. Well, I mean, that's just what's happening. So that's why Thor is there to change that. That's right.
All right. Well, we got a couple. I want all y'all who got your hands up. So quite a few. Keep your comments brief. Make your comments brief so we can get more calls in. I'm gonna start up here at the top. 888-8557. You on here?
Hey, greetings, brothers. Rob, this is brother Sean Hill.
What's
that, Tampa, Florida?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, it's good to have Brother Sharif back on the show. Peace, Brother Sharif.
Yeah, what's up, Sean? I meant to speak with you before, man. That's your boy. I remember you from the first show. And I think I asked Brother Dry Bones, I said, what happened to Sean? Because I listened to, you know, before I come on anybody's show, I kind of listened to a couple of their calls. And I know you're very, you know, involved in the call. But pleasure to meet you, brother. Pleasure.
Thank you. And I couldn't agree more with you about our people becoming educated, becoming more self-reliant and self-sufficient. And it's definitely long overdue for our, you know, for our people to be detoxed of you know, of the ignorance. And certainly appreciate, you know, all your good work and your hard work and making that happen. So again, man, thank you, and it's good to hear from you again, bro.
Oh yeah, man.
All
thank
right.
You. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate you, man. And yeah, thank you for supporting the brother. I know he's in all your calls when I listen to him, Dry. I said that's Dry Bones boy right there. That's Sean.
Yeah, Dry
Bones.
Yeah,
got good spirit.
All these brothers are in the same area as our brother Dawes. So one of these days we don't have to have a conference in this great state of Florida. Let me go into another state. 1-877, you on the air. Georgia, you on the air. 1-877, you on the air.
Greetings, Dry Bones. Hello.
Greetings.
How are you? This is Akila from ATL.
Go ahead, sister. We hear you. Akila. We know you.
What's happening?
Oh, not much. I just want to let you know that I'm definitely enjoying the show as well. And I definitely agree with you on a lot of the information you said about pro sayers. You know, I'm in the same field, but, you know, I deal with the mortgages, and I can just say that pro sayers who come in this field, if they're not educated, like you said, and if they don't understand the system, they will not succeed. People like that definitely would, if they can't, if they cannot study and understand the system, going into that arena is very difficult for them. So having someone like you that, you know, take the time out to educate your clients is very important. I can say firsthand experience, I started off as a pro sayer myself. And one thing I can say about pro sayers is they take in emotions when they go to court. They're very emotional. They're very upset. Even if they found out that the law is on their hands, they don't come in there in a professional manner. When you come into the court and you take the emotion off and you study and you prepare and you know your case law and you know your statutes, you will be treated with respect. However, I definitely, you know, don't agree that the justice system favors us. You know, going into the system, I think that we have to realize that the judges and the attorneys are definitely on the same side. They don't like to see a pro sayer lose to an attorney, because, you know, an attorney can lose their job if a pro sayer comes in there and actually win. So I think that pro sayers should be very mindful of that as well. So going in there prepared is so important. As Dry Bones was saying earlier today, here in Georgia, I had a client that I was mentioning to him today. I was pretty excited about it. But I guess he wants me to tell you guys the story. I had a client that I was doing a modification for, and basically what happened was in the process, they actually foreclosed on the client, and I had no knowledge of it. They didn't actually serve her. Here in Georgia, they have to serve a notice 30 days prior. I don't believe they served her. I did some investigation, and they came after her with the eviction like maybe 2 or 3 days later. And through the research and my preparation, we filed with the Consumer Financial Bureau Protection Agency, and they pretty much, I think they got a little nervous. They came to court the first time. They actually asked for a postponement. We went to court 3 times. And the courts actually dismissed the case in its entirety, and that was basically because of the fact that we did our preparation and we fought. If you're not going to go to court with the fighting mentality that you're not, even if you have an attorney. Of course, I work with an attorney, but even if you're a pro se, if you don't have that fight in you, I think that, sure, if you agree, I don't think you should waste your time even being involved. And that's what a lot of us.
I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit. I'm gonna understand and disagree with you a little bit, but I'm gonna comment on a couple of other things that I know you've listened to my call, and I know a lot of people talk, and I only do this again to elevate the people. But I know, Akilah, you're really instrumental in, you know, foreclosure cases and things of that nature. But I always know when people make the transition from the perceived foreclosure knowledge they feel they have. When I know I teach specifically that, you know, you can throw the foreclosure crap out the window if you're dealing with a debt collector. And a lot of people don't make that transition. Like, you're telling me you've been to court 3 times. Well, if I go to court 3 times on any of my students, they're going to pay but with attorney fees. Not many people, whether you want to call them pro se or consumers, know that they can get attorney fees. If it doesn't cost an attorney or a debt collector or a creditor any money for hauling your tail in court, and they get paid $400 or $500 an hour, and you're just going in there happy to get it delayed because they're going to come back again if it's something procedural, like, well, they didn't serve me, or they didn't send out the notice, or they didn't do a certified mail. No, those are just delays. They're not going to be denied the attempt to come after you. So you're not getting attorney fees. You're just happy to go in there and get it delayed. And then the second thing I will have to say is that pro se is never really mentioned in any of my cases or any of my students' cases or any of my listeners. Why? Because pro se is only brought up most of the time when there is a failure to abide by the rules. That's the only time they bring up pro se. Other than that, we're consumers. I'm not a damn pro se. Pro se is like, you know, they'll mention pro se. Well, this is a, you know, attorneys might say, well, this is a pro se litigant. I'm like, okay, and this pro se litigant, excuse my language, is going to kick your ass because the facts are the facts and you can't beat it. So also when you say, well, the attorneys don't like they can lose their, they're not going to lose their job losing to a pro se, because I'm telling you right now, I done beat damn near every one of them. I mean, because they're going to lose to a pro se. They're going to lose to, and they're not going to say pro se, they lost to a consumer, a educated damn consumer. So it's as simple as that. You're going to lose when the cards are stacked against you, when the facts are what they are. So, you know, I don't want to scare people with the pro se stuff, and if you're not prepared, you know, everybody can do that. Now, if you're talking that foreclosure stuff and you're dealing with a debt collector, you're making a big mistake, and you're not going to get paid, and you're going to play defense for the rest of your life, and they're going to find a way to take your house or get a garnishment. But if you're on the consumer protection law and you're following the Thorpe methodology, you're not going to have those problems. Akilah, you wouldn't have those problems going to court 3 times, because once you sent them the right notice and let them know what lane you over here in, I guarantee you they wouldn't have brought you in court 3 times. They probably would have left you behind alone. You understand what I mean? So, you know, I just had to say that to you because I know that you still deal with the foreclosure stuff, but I just wanted to elevate you, raise you up a little bit and say you're not really getting in that consumer protection lane. You still, I could tell you still looking at the rules and seeing if they didn't, you know, dot the I or cross the T. But, sister, you're not getting that money, and you're not going to get that money and that remedy until you get over there in that consumer protection lane. And I'm telling you, okay, I would take all your cases right now, and I would change every last one of them in about less than 30 days.
Okay,
guaranteed.
Hold on.
Give me your best 3 cases so I can get you to change lanes. Get your best 3 cases, and I'm going to show you that you're playing that game because maybe you over there with an attorney, and that's the game that they play. And maybe that's beneficial for you. But until you start bringing your people into the right lane and putting them on the offensive where they're looking at, okay, if I really do this, this might cost me a couple of $100,000, you're not doing it. You're probably doing something beneficial to you, but then we can't also say, you know, the pro says y'all got to really watch out, they crooked. They're not. I'm just telling you, they're not. They're not. I don't experience that.
Hold on, let me go to some more callers. I'll bring you back in here. So
Brother
Drabble,
I got to –
8848. Go ahead, 8848.
I'm just listening. I don't know if perhaps I don't know if he can answer a question that I may that I have.
About what?
It's not.
We gotta be on what we're talking about here.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Reference to what? I can't hear you.
In reference to how? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. In reference to my tax, through my taxes, my identity was stolen. So I had to deal with, you know, with a whole year of not, you know, getting paid. They eventually paid me. The IRS eventually paid me. And I haven't checked, I'll be honest with you all, I haven't checked my credit score. But if it's something that my credit score has been situation, how can I go about it? Can I take them to court? How can I go about it? Thank you.
Yeah, so when you say your taxes, well, you had some identity fraud and they obtained some tax returns from the IRS in your name?
Yes, my identity was stolen through the taxes. Yeah.
That's
probably big. But did that cause you not to pay some bills, or did they actually open up some accounts in your name?
No, what happened is that I had to deal with IRS, and IRS did not pay me until 1 year later. And did it cause me some paying bills?
That's your tax return, so that caused you to fall behind on some bills. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Okay. Well, then, your creditors is not going to want to hear that, and they're not going to want to hear that you were dependent on your tax return to pay your bills. I do understand your situation, but you can always call those creditors and ask for complimentary, correction of any late payments. Now, if you're talking about a year, then, you know, more than likely those accounts were charged off and sold to debt collectors. And if they're in the hands of debt collectors, now you got a great opportunity to kind of make some money off of them residing in your credit report. At the same time, get them to remove it. So you're actually in a better position that you're not dealing with the creditors. So you need to pull your credit report, see who's in there, why they're in there, dispute everything in your credit report. And you do that just by opening up an account for $18, $19 with Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And do not do a tri-merge or a free credit.willy or, you know, just go ahead and open them up with the credit bureaus themselves and obtain your credit report and dispute everything on there. And in less than 30 days, then you'll see who's going to stay and who you need to deal with and then take it from there. But you're not lost. I mean, you can clean those things up.
Okay, I'm going to go to 7773. If that's you making a loud noise, I'm about to cut you off, 7773. Is that you out there? 7773. Okay, you're making a loud noise. You got to go. Okay, let's go to 5744. You on the air.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me okay?
I hear you very well, sir. Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, thank you so much. I have to say, you know, Brother Sharif has been very enlightening. This is Tamara out in Atlanta. You know, gone back and forth, but his knowledge and how he delivers this information has truly educated me. And I even tried to get, you know, the information so I could learn. But as you get on with him and as he shows you, you know, he always reverts back to the Bible. That's what he calls it, you know, of all the laws that protect us, and we just don't. And in the very beginning, I was fearful, and he always teaches us not to be fearful, but I was fearful because I didn't know the knowledge. And, yes, it is true. They are, you know, trying to brainwash women so we can literally cut out the man in our community so we can be superior, and now they're tearing us down. So I just want to thank Brother Sharif for continuing to send me information, you know, and we battled. But at the end of the day, he is truly trying to educate people in our community to empower ourselves with the laws that are there for us so we can take care of not just us but the families and our community, because it's true that they're tearing us down every way possible, and debt is a form of slavery. So I just want to say that. Thank you, Brother Sharif.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you, sister. Give thanks. I appreciate it. Sister Tamara, I just
recognize.
Yeah, she's been listening over. And we do battle. And look, they understand. I don't mind battling as long as you're increasing your knowledge and your education. That's okay. I was built for battle. So, yeah, get back to Sister Barrett. She's definitely coming along.
I'm trying to bring you in, 9307. I don't know what state you're in, but you're making way too much noise. I'm going to bring you in one more time.
One more time. 9307.
Turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down.
Do you hear me?
Do you hear me?
9307.
You're on
the air.
Okay.
Let me go to 6293. 6293, you're on the air. Oh, you drive on. You got your hand up. Area code 239.
Why did you make this my cover photo?
Y'all having too much fun in this line. Y'all gonna talk to the man, or y'all want to continue listening? Y'all having too much fun for me. I need to be with y'all. Y'all have way too much fun. Let me go to 3092. All y'all hands are up, but y'all ain't saying nothing.
It's not that though.
That's why I'm afraid. Sharif, you're having too much fun out with these people. There you go. 9392. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Kimba, Credit Man. Can you hear me okay?
Credit Man. What's up, Credit Man?
Hey, what's up, Credit Man?
Hey, what's up, Sharif? What's up? I talked to you, Sharif.
What's
I'm
up,
gonna
brother?
Be getting down
what's
there
happening?
Soon. All right, I'm going to be getting down there soon to talk with you. But listen, I heard the exchange with you and Dry Bones earlier, but I was going in and out. But I know that what we're trying to do is not only I mean total unity with you suing the collectors, but I do want to take my client and start suing the credit reporting agencies. I wanted to get some input from you as to how we could proceed with that, because I've been trying to use attorneys and to no avail. And it seems like your program is pretty solid with the collectors. Have you had any success and dealing with the credit reporting agency, suing them for damages that they caused when you had items deleted from your credit report?
That's a very cardinal question, and I'll say, Credit Man, I'll be honest with you. I read a case on my show about a month ago, and it was a case regarding Experian that a lady had a problem. She kept disputing the debt, and Experian would not remove the debt. And she sued them, and she won $18.7 million. They were just reporting a couple of accounts that they wouldn't. And it was interesting when I read through the article, they asked Experian, okay, well, are y'all going to tighten up your procedures? And Experian said, nah. And they said, we're not going to change anything. That's just the cost of doing business. That's just what they said about $18 million.
When she sued them, obviously she sued them with some attorneys. Is that the case?
Yeah, I'm sure she used attorneys. I'm sure she used
so
attorneys.
So we can find
$18 million, but they said, they didn't blink.
Yeah, they're out there. We just have to find them. That's basically what we're saying. Now, it's a shame we don't have a network of black lawyers that is automatically, systematically in tune to what we're talking about, but that's not the case. Credit Man, tell him what you've been doing, because I know you've been talking to a lot of people, Credit Man. Tell us what you've been doing.
Right. First of all, I want to bypass the attorneys if I can, but I want to talk with you because of your extensive experience with the collectors. But most of the people that I've found that have obtained any type of success suing the credit reporting agencies have used an attorney. But the attorneys that we're using, they're dragging their feet, or they're really uninformed on how to really go about this. And so.
You can't be held hostage to one legal society. This is why Thor comes out and wants to teach the people. Listen, it's no different than you've used an attorney. If you follow the guidelines in the consumer protection law, that information is going to go to the jury, and it's not going to be any different than if an attorney sent it to the jury. The jury is going to make that decision, and they're going to look and be like, okay, did they do this or did they do that? An attorney is not going to really make that all that much better, so we need to remove that from our head that attorneys can do it better. I just think they have more experience. They're more unified in what they do. But I'm just telling you right now, a pro se litigant can accomplish anything that an attorney does. And we need to get to that point because we're seeing that the legal society is complicit in a lot of things that are not in our favor. So we have to make them earn our business again, meaning the people need to stand up, get the education, go to the court, do things right, and be like, look, we don't need anybody but ourselves. If y'all want to earn our business again, then y'all going to have to really change your society tenfold for you to earn the people's trust again, because it's a trust issue. So, you know, and to answer your question, Credit Man, about the credit reporting agencies, you really shouldn't have too much problem with them when you have a debt collector that is reporting or furnishing the information. I don't know of too many instances, even in my travels, where I have a lot of problems with credit reporting agencies, because usually you're dealing with a furnisher. They're only furnishing what they're being fed by and through a furnisher. So I don't know where they get out of hand. I think you should make a whole bunch of money before you get to the point where you have to sue a credit reporting agency. And, yeah, some of the attorneys are going to be gunshot because those CRAs, man, those credit reporting agencies, they got some deep pockets. You understand what I mean? They're going to send out your copies and everything after you. I'm telling you. And you just don't want to deal with that. Get those debt collectors, man. I mean, you know, if your communications are effective – to any, I don't care if it's a debt collector, a credit reporting agency, an attorney, I don't care who it is. If your communication and your diction is proper, you're not going to have that problem. This is why I say I don't want to put things in people's head that you're going to have difficulty because you're pro se or, you know, you got to be your extra skilled. Look, most people that are educated in the consumer protection law know more than most attorneys on that particular subject matter.
Uh-huh.
It's just not what they learn. Okay, and I think some of it is that they just don't know it, and some of it is that, you know, it's easier to deal with the third and fourth party language and, you know, argue semantics and things of that nature and dance around and play with words. You know, they get paid by the hour. They get paid by the paper. On the consumer protection laws, it's simple. Okay, it's a strict liability statute. Either you did it or you didn't. Did you do it? All right. You didn't? All right. That's it. Okay? So that's why I say it's not difficult, and there should be no fear of any consumer exercising their rights as a consumer, and it's not that difficult. If you go in, it's not a foreclosure case. You go in a foreclosure case, absolutely. You're going to get your behind beat up if you're playing that game, even if it's justified. That game is going to beat you up. Those attorneys are going to eat you up and laugh at you. But when you get into the consumer protection lane, which is what I was trying to tell Akila, you watch how they face change. When you now turn to take, because as a creditor or as a forecloser, then the attorneys, I mean, that's heaven for them. Do you understand? They're riding on the creditor lane. But when you turn that around and you put that consumer protection law in their face, now those attorneys you're working for are those same attorneys that will almost smack you in your face in a foreclosure court, and you hit them with that notice of dispute pursuant to 1692G, now you know that applies to those attorneys. You don't think they're going to be a little bit more benign in their communications to you? I'm just telling you. I'm telling you what I know. Okay?
Change that whole game
around when you start pulling those attorneys in and be like, you know you're a debt collector, right? Right. You know everything you say or do can be used against you. You read them the criminal mini Miranda. You know everything you say can be used against you, right? Because you know you're a debt collector. Just like who you're working for, right? You know that, right? Right. Now, this is what I'm going to need you to do. And that's how you turn that table around. But in a foreclosure case, you can't turn nothing around on them because they're presumed to be working for the creditor. So they're going to do what they want to do.
Okay. Hold on. Go ahead.
Can I just one other thing, too?
Go ahead, man.
Okay. I'm going to talk with you more off the record. I understand what you're saying about the deep pocket with the credit reporting agency, and then we should definitely pursue a easier route with those collectors. I agree with that. But I do want to talk to you a little bit more. But also, now, Keela was on the line. You and Keela had I don't think Keela got the opportunity to respond. Can she have the ability to respond to what Sharif was saying, Drive On?
Go ahead. I got Brother Sean and Akila on the line. Go ahead, Brother Sean. Brother Sister Akila. Go ahead.
I definitely understand what Sharif is saying. I mean, the foreclosure lane is definitely a different beast than what he's doing. But I was just was going to say that this was not an actual foreclosure case. This was an eviction case got dismissed. But no, you know, I understand completely where Sharif is coming from, and you know, and I'll give that some consideration as well, Sharif. I'll give that some consideration because the foreclosure.
And understand those landlords are subject to the FDCPA too now, especially coming out of a foreclosure sale. So you can pull them right in too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, that's all I just wanted to clarify, let him know that this wasn't an actual, I mean, I didn't want a foreclosure case. I wanted an eviction case.
Yeah, he stopped the eviction.
And, it was an eviction. Yeah. It was an eviction case. It wasn't a you know, we haven't started the foreclosure lawsuit, but that's definitely it's definitely going to come. But we put them on hold.
So you know they're going to come back on eviction. They just going you know, that's the easiest part of that whole routine from foreclosure to eviction. That eviction is going to go in 2.5 minutes. Even if they make a mistake, they're refiling
it tomorrow.
Let me
say this right here. Right. It will, but if you have enough evidence, you know, and facts to support your case, they won't, because I just want to let you know that they foreclosed on her on May. And here we're going into September. And here, and you know how Georgia eviction laws are. You don't win too many eviction cases unless it's procedural. And it was not a procedural error at all. This is a very strong case. That we have that we can actually
succeed. Tequila, I got you, but you just need to follow it up with some offense that's going to make them think twice, and that's the consumer protection law, especially post-foreclosure.
Well,
put some money to their back, and then they may decide not to go forward at all. You understand?
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm doing right now. Exactly. And that's exactly what I have on my plate right now, scared them away that they would not file a foreclosure deed under power because they were afraid, because of the facts and evidence that we have. Because, like I said, it was just 4 months ago, and if this was a shutdown case, they would have filed that deed and been able to succeed, but they wasn't.
If you got enough evidence that they won't do an eviction, you got plenty of evidence to go ahead and win on a consumer protection case, I'm telling you.
Okay, well, let me say this.
Let me say this. This is why these shows and y'all together talking tonight, because it's time for the network to take place, everybody. It's like other groups have underground networks. I think it behooves us to take advantage of all the people that we are around that are so close to us, and on a phone call way, we should take advantage. Brother Sean, make your point. I got five people popping up at the same time. Go ahead, Sean. Make your point so I can hit these other calls.
Just want to say, in both situations, I've had to make a special appearance before the court for a consumer protection case, and also for a property foreclosure case in one of my rental properties. And I can just have to bear witness to what Brother Sharif was saying. The consumer protection case was a slam dunk. As the court calls it, as a pro se, as a defendant in that case, and but certainly it was a different strategy and approach that was required during the foreclosure case, in which such I had to hire an attorney, and I have the transcripts from both of those court cases here in Hillsborough County, and so I have the actual transcripts. I don't ever go to court without hiring my own court reporter. That's the courtroom karate that I utilize. So I do have those transcripts available. If Brother Sharif, you want to take a look at those, Sister Akilah, if you want to take a look at the transcripts from those two cases, so you can see verbatim, exactly how I presented my case and how I defended myself and won.
Good, brother. Good deal. Good job.
Yeah. Quick question, everybody. What is Greg Dawson's he should be – I see some hands come up. It's too many for me to – what is his last four digits, brother?
9359.
I'm seeing all kinds of numbers. 9359. There's 93. Let me see if I see him. 9359. Don't see him yet. I'm going to ask some of these calls. Let me get some more people on the line because it's a – let me go to here. I don't know what state this is, but 678 Last four digits, 5744. 5744, you and AOE, Dry Bones.
Hey, this is Tamara back on. I just wanted to get Akila and the gentleman who said he won his, just won his case, because I'm dealing mm-hmm. with a debt collection for Georgia and in Atlanta for my home and foreclosure. So is there any way possible we can get their information and or get his case that he did with his court reporters?
It absolutely is, no doubt about it. I want to give her a quick, Akila, you in Georgia, give her your email address. And Brother Sean, give her your email address.
Yeah, I can be contacted. She can reach me at shill.login@gmail.com. That's S-H-I-L. Yeah, S-H-I-L-L. login@gmail.com. That's shill.login@gmail.com. Just send me an intro, a test email, and I'll reply back. And that's for anyone who wants to see the transcripts. Anybody listening on the case, I'll make the transcript available to anyone that sends me an email. I'll send it back out. It's public record.
That's right. The brother knows about public record. Let me go to 3364. 3364, you on the air? Akila, you'll be next. 3364, you on the air?
Hey, how y'all doing, man? Y'all hear me?
I hear you quite well, brother. How you doing tonight?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, look, man. I want to ask the brother Sharif question. Does he do anything about... say cleaning out people are criminal records, i.e. getting people felonies off people's records?
Uh-oh. There you go. You heard that, brother. He wants to know.
That's a good question.
Very good question.
I haven't really seen a lot of that, although I've heard of it, but what you have to understand about credit reports is that there has to be a source who's reporting the information. There's certain things called public records, and public records don't just wind up on your credit report. You know, they have other little companies called, I call them little fishers, like LexisNexis and other companies that just gather information from public records, sell it to the credit bureaus, and they report it, try to line it up with information in their database, and they report it. So if you look on your credit report and you see some criminal violations there, then there has to be a source, somebody who's reporting it. So you have to understand everything on your credit has to have a source in case you dispute that information. It has to be handled by a credit furnisher, which means say I was an agency that reports criminal records and I wanted to report that. I'm going to report that and say, well, Brother Sharif is reporting that information. And then if there was a dispute made, then it would come to me and I would have to investigate that. So what I would tell you to do is just to dispute it. Okay, you can either call the credit reporting agencies, Equifax, TransUnion, Experian, or you can go online, obtain your credit report electronically, and just dispute it. If they come back and say they validated that information, you want to see who validated the information. Again, public records, county, all they don't report. Taxes, they don't report to your credit bureau. Okay, IRS doesn't report to your credit bureau. All right, the county jail doesn't report to your credit bureau. That information is reported by little information gatherers who sell that information to the credit bureau. So if you catch the credit reporting agency reporting something and not have a party defined that you can call and say, where did you get that information from? You know, that's not true, or it's not accurate, or, you know, if they don't have that, then that's where you probably – dealing with credit man will get into a situation where you're like, I need you to remove that because that's erroneous, all right? And if you can't tell me the source of who is supplying that information, you're in violation of 1681, which is the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So just dispute it, my brother. It might come off, and if it doesn't come off, you just want to find out, okay, who's giving you this information because I disputed it, and they need to tell you who it's coming from. They can't say they found it. Oh, well, you know, they might tell you, oh, go down to the county. You know, they're reporting that information. Don't even leave the phone. Tell them the county is not reporting that information, sir. you might have gotten it from the county. But does that mean that everything in the county that anybody can file means that it's true? Do you understand what I mean? Who down at the county is going to validate that that is true? None of them are. Mm-hmm. The county's not. And if you call the county, yeah. They're like, do y'all report records to the credit bureaus? They'll tell you no. So you just got to dispute it, my brother, and then come back to the show or come over to Thor and let me know what they said, and then I'll tell you where to go from there.
And let me just say this for those of you who are listening. It's one of the things with the brother and credit man and sister all the keeping get you the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Get one. Download it. Start to read it. Try to get as much understanding of it as you can. If you don't get a lot of understanding, that's why you can call him at 11 o'clock a.m. and get him to display what you don't understand. That's the beauty of that. So go get it and start calling him at 11 and say, I don't understand that part, and he will be able to explain more and more to you. And I suggest we all get one. Let me go to some more callers. I got 3555.
Hello, everyone that's listening to me talk right now. I have not been solicited to say what I'm getting ready to say, and no one is paying me to say what I want to say, but I can legitimately tell you that I've won a few cases in federal court against debt collectors, and I just came upon Thor maybe about, I would say, 6 months ago. I've learned a lot of information from other shows, but I suggest that people tune into Thor. I suggest that people, and Brother Sharif does not need me to speak for him, but I can tell you that he is the most fact-based, succinct individual that will tell you how to win, how to beat, and how to retain your home. And if you can hear me, you need to tune in and find out how to keep your home if you're in foreclosure and even if you're not in foreclosure, and how to beat and get illegitimate debt collectors off of your credit report and deal with anyone that calls your phone looking for debt. Thank you for Dry Bones for having Brother Sharif on the show.
Hey, man, you sure you're not an advertiser, man. You sound pretty good.
Hey, brother, listen, I recognize the voice, but I have to go politic on you and say I'm Brother Sharif and I approve that message. But I don't know who the brother was, but I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. You sound like one of my regulars over there, but I approve that message.
That's a good message. You approve that message. I'm from Chicago. Hey, good brother. Thank you, brother, for calling. And, brother, on Chicago, if you ain't doing nothing on Sunday, go to the Helios Business Hour at 10 o'clock. We will be on, and we will have a wonderful show that we do on Sunday. For those of you who don't like to go to church, you can have a very good understanding about church on Sunday. So give us a call. Let me go to another area code, which is way out. 9186.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How about yourself?
You on the air? You on the air, brother. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question. I'm currently am involved in a case. On this past Thursday, I had a pretrial settlement conference in the Second District, which is New York. Long story short, I sued a bank. It was Capital One Bank and a National Association USA. And at the settlement conference, we didn't settle because they only offered me $1,000 to settle, and that's all the attorney was authorized. But my question was, during the settlement conference, they were saying that the judge was saying that Capital One is a creditor and can't be a debt collector. Now everything was off the record. But I had a letter that they had sent to me, which clearly said that they were servicer and they acquired the debt after it was in default. Now, I don't know if he was just pushing me to settle, I guess, because that was his motive because it was off the record, or is that the case?
I tell you, with you mentioning the name Capital One, they are generally known to be creditors. Now, when you say they were assigned a loan, is this a foreclosure or a
credit card? This was a credit card.
Well, yeah, then Capital One is normally, is that who you had the original account with?
No, it was through HSBC, and I believe they acquired it. They, like, purchased a whole bunch of them, and they acquired it. They took over a whole bunch of
accounts. That's weird. Yeah, that's weird. I've never known Capital One to get involved with defaulted debt. But if HSBC had it now, I'm not sure if HSBC is some subsidiary of Capital One. But at any rate, if they're assigned or transferred a debt, you can't take that for granted. You need to know that. You need to see documentation that supports that. But if they were assigned a debt while it's in default and they're coming after you and it's not in the name of the original creditor, what I tell everybody to do is you can't admit to anything unless you know what you know what you know. So if you sent them a notice of dispute and they violated some provision of the consumer protection laws, be it state, you're in the Second Circuit, you're in a pretty good circuit, New York, you've got plenty of case law there for consumer protection. If they obtained that debt while it was in default, then you just need to find you $20-$30 that's in error, or, you know, ask for some information that they're not able to provide, and you just need to continue to go to town. Now, don't take when a judge tells you they're a servicer or you need to settle. You know, sometimes these judges look at your case and maybe they see some defects in your case that would subject them to dismissal. You know, these judges are not trying. That's why I say I don't put that into people's mind that, you know, be prepared, they're going to be corrupt, they're going to be making you jump hoops. And, you know, I don't do that because that's not the case. Sometimes these judges be trying to save your butt and be like, look, take $1,000 and go. And $1,000 didn't necessarily mean you had a good case. $1,000 is just like, look, we don't want to pay any more money to make you wrong. You understand? That's a lot of times the foundation of them saying that. If you feel you got a good case, brother, I can't look at it, then, you know, then you go forward. But you need to do your research, ask some questions, and be like, okay, when did you acquire the debt? Okay, that was after default, right? All right, well, are you a debt collector or not? Because your correspondent says that you are. Which one are you? Okay, so you are a debt collector. Okay, well, then I'm proceeding. All right, and if you want to come somewhere upwards, you know, in between $3,000-$5,000 for me to drop it at this stage, then I'll take that and I'll go home. But other than that, we need to keep moving forward and advancing the case. You have to make that decision based on what you know. But, you know, if you know that they're a debt collector, my man, and that's what their correspondent says, you need to treat them as such. Don't come in there and say you're not. You let it say you are. So if you lied about that and you want to change tunes now, you still violated the FDCPA because mm-hmm. that's a misrepresentation. Who are you? Now, are you a debt collector? No, now you're not. You see?
Now, let me ask you a question about that because does each state has its own interpretation of this Consumer Act, or is this universally
not the federal?
The whole, pardon me?
Yeah, not the federal. The federal is the federal in every state. Your state
every
consumer
state.
Protection laws, like you're in Florida, I believe you have a Florida unfair deceptive practices or, you know, a mini version of the FDCPA where you're at, dry bones, then the state law can be different, but this is what people don't understand. You can go on the state court under the consumer protection law, get a bunch of money, and then turn around and go to the federal court and get a bunch of money. You have two swings at the debt collectors on the same debt, okay? Ooh. Two different jurisdictions, state and federal. So you have two swings to get them. So the state laws, they're going to be different many times from state to state. The federal laws is the same throughout the 50 states.
Well, I'm not going to ask this. Somebody's texting me a question. I'm not going to ask it the way they want me to ask it, but I'm asking like this when we all meet up. Are you able to show us these cases that we are discussing within your realm? I don't want to go too far because these phone calls, these shows to me have to be talked about in different ways, and what we want to talk about with you is probably going to be off the record. But you do have the information for us when we meet to show us that there is.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. That's all I want to hear. Okay.
Absolutely. I believe you're on an email list, too. So I believe you should have a good bit of cases that I've shared with everybody.
Yeah.
Well,
I
got those cases.
And,
are very, and if you see, man, those consumer protection law cases, dry bones, are real simple.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get people to understand. And I want to give a shout out to Sister Layla because she does a job for you that keeps us informed. She always, Lisa, gives me a text. So thank you, Sister Layla, for doing what you're doing out there as well, because it's hard to get people
indeed
who are dedicated to your cause. And it's always good to
yeah,
have
thanks
people
to my staff,
there.
Layla, Laurie, and Rudy. Yeah, I think the creator for them, they're excellent. Layla does.
Now,
she's my front runner. That's the Doreen right there. So she handles a lot of things.
She keeps you going, yeah. And she's out of the big Texas area, the big T Texas. A lot of stuff going on in Texas. Before we get to the top of the hour, and because Brother didn't come on, we're going to have to put him on to another show. His expertise to everybody to tonight, but he was going to talk about child support, which I think that affects a lot of people regardless what stature you're in and what economic stature you're in. Child support can come on anybody, including the rich. So he was going to give us some of that, but I think maybe he needs a whole 2 hours too, so maybe we'll get him on sometime next week.
Indeed. Yeah, you need 2 hours with him.
Yeah, obviously it's going to be interesting because this one's taking off as well. Those of you who are listening, download the show, send it out to others that you may be, who you know may be interested in hearing this. Sister Keila, give your information so they can get in touch with you in the ATL. Go give your information brief. In touch with you.
Okay, yes, this is for Tamara. I believe that's the sister name. And that's Akila, akilad.bones@hotmail.com.
Okay, I got that, sister. Those of you are in the area.
John Bones, I'm sorry. Brother Greg last four is 9350. I think I told you 9359. But I don't know if you missed him. I believe he had a show this evening. So
no, he told me he had a show. And he did say he had a show, and I knew that. So maybe we can get him on when he don't have one so we can get a lot of information out of him. Because he also
you definitely need him by himself. I mean, he's got a lot to go into. We definitely can share the platform. You know what I'm saying? I can listen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
I love
a big topic. Yeah.
You need his own show. Yes.
That's
big
a big topic. Yeah. Yeah. Anything with dealing with that is bigger, almost bigger. Between child support and credit, they both intertwine in my world. So.
Oh, yeah.
They can, they can make it.
I have a
go
question
ahead
for our Sharif. I have a friend out there in D.C., that actually has that may can actually use your help. He actually, I sent him some information because you know that's not totally what I do, but I know a little bit. I've done maybe one or two cases, and the consumer protection. But he actually he filed an appeal. Are you able to assist?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he lost his case, and it's the original. That's I don't know how tough this is. It's the original creditor, and the original creditor. There was no signed contract, and there was no signed agreement. The $30,000 credit card. Is that a tough one?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Anytime you're dealing with the trick is with original creditors is that original creditors can become subject to the FDCPA if they treat the debt as if it's a default. So technically, I want everybody to understand this. You got a payment due on August 1st. You don't pay it August the 2nd. It's in default. So it depends on how they treat the debt as well. So if they're treating you like, you know, you're in default, listen, you two payments behind, and we're going to start doing this and doing that, then really they can almost become subject to the FDCPA depending on how they treat you. Because they're treating the debt as if it is in default. And that lane changes based on their behavior. Again, it's behavior and conduct. So although you're a creditor, you have a debt that is in default and I haven't paid in a month or I haven't paid in 2 weeks. Let's just say 30 days to give it a good window. So after 30 days, you're still collecting. Look, man, you really a debt collector at this point because you're treating a debt as if it is in default. Also, Akila, I know you probably know I want to say this. You know they've been – the CFPB been running through them Georgia's attorneys and going hard at them, you know, a couple of the big ones down there. So I know you know that's going on down there. So I tell people to look at that because when you look at the CFPB, what do they use? They use the consumer protection laws to get these big million-dollar cases out of these foreclosure firms. And they tell you, y'all been breaking not
foreclosure laws because they know they're not foreclosures. The CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, are suing these attorneys under debt collector laws. So are y'all really going through foreclosure? I keep asking y'all. Y'all really think you're in foreclosure? Then why is the CFPB, who is that firm down there? There's two big firms, a couple other attorney firms. I mean, you know, they're bringing them in under the same laws that I'm teaching you about. So, you know, let's just, you know, let's get on that bandwagon, you know, because they're shaking up Georgia, and I know Georgia's trying to protect them, you know, on the state side, but then the CFPB is taking them over there in federal court and having at it.
They got protection over there,
too. Oh, yeah. They putting a barbecue on them over there. It's all chicken over there, I'm telling you. So it's a good time for y'all in Georgia, since you're in a non-judicial state, for y'all to just pull up those cases and just look at them. Look at what the CFPB's saying, and you can almost mimic that language and have the same success.
Gotcha.
Well, you know, let me ask this because it's getting to the top of the hour, and I appreciate everybody for listening. Y'all can't go. I don't know if the brother wants to be able to stay on. He's been doing such a wonderful job, so I just want y'all to give him a plug just so you know his show is on in the morning at 11 a.m. Those of you who are listening, go get that credit protection information. Start taking your 30-day plunge like they do with that stupidity of putting water all over you and submerge yourself into this and find out what's necessary, because commerce is the name of the game. That is the holy grail, is commerce, everybody.
Yeah.
The Bible is actually commerce, but we're not going to get that until Sunday. But we're not.
You're going deep, brother. You're going deep.
Told everybody we would not talk about anything on that level except for the Helios Biblios hour. And so y'all got to come on Sunday to get all that. But we need to understand that in order to keep our people alive and going, we have to understand this game here. It's imperative. And to have a brother on here. But I know it's getting to the top. You want to give any more shout-out information before we or do you want to keep going? It's up to you. Those you want to stay on, I'll stay on a little bit longer.
I'm with you, brother. If you want to go long and your people need those answers,
okay, well,
I'm here.
Well, we'll
but, you know, we're having our show on Tuesday, you know, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're also having a Violence in America Part 3, which is a hybrid of different people talking about the violence that's going on, the destruction of the family.
Well,
we're talking about women. We're talking about men. We're talking about the children. So it's Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Friday will be part three.
I would try to get on that because it is a reason why violence is happening, and it's not by accident. And we need to understand that. This is very well orchestrated, and people fall for a lot of things that are orchestrated. So, yeah, that's 11 o'clock, y'all, because it is violence in America. America is based off of violence. It is produced through violence. There's no doubt about that. Let me ask you a few questions about this. This, let's just say what we're trying to do in Florida, because I think Florida I tell everybody, we're in the tail end of the nation, y'all. We don't look, everybody from Florida, we got to look up to everybody. Everybody looks down to us because we are the furthest south as you can get everybody. What you see for this state now that you're in it? What you see for your being here? What have you noticed about your environment here? Do you see how the people react? Because I know you see it's a difference. I don't know what part. I think you're up north, northern Florida, but northern Miami. Are you?
I mean, when I was
Miami.
In Florida, I enjoyed the energy that was in Florida. I mean, I don't. You know, it's a lot of diversity in Florida. It is further south. I think there's a hybrid of different mindsets and cultures here, so I don't see why Florida have any racial problems. I think it's all manufactured. I'm just going to put it like that. I think if you turn the TV off, I think many of the problems that we have in society today would go away if we just turn the TV off, okay, for 30 days. I think there'd be more peace in this country than there's been in about 100 years. That's But then if we get back to our spiritual foundation, I mean, and do that for 30 days, I mean, that's going to take it up to a grander level. But then if we then come together as people, in 90 days we can change this country. You wouldn't even recognize it.
Both black and white.
both black and white. I don't think we have a black and a white issue. I think a lot of us, you know, and I'll be honest, I don't spend a lot of time on the history. I'll be honest, I just don't. I'm not one that looks in the rearview mirror. I just don't have time to, and I probably don't do it enough. And I'm not saying that I'm proud of that or not, but I just don't. I don't look into the history enough. I'm trying to chart a future.
Right, because you got as well. You know, and I'll tell everybody, though, that's part of in my studies. You know, you have to have a foundation of past, present, and future. It's always three, brother. And so
sure.
Being that past should not be dwelt in, but it has to be analyzed so when you get into where we are in present life, we can take that mistake and then bring it into the reality, to the future. Because if we have not learned from our mistakes, then you're going to keep repeating them. And that seems to be a very profound analogy that our people do. We keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again. And I see that you're one who's trying to make a difference. So it was a pleasure to keep having you on the show, and I hope you can continue to come on when we need more clarity on certain things that and that the people are asking.
I want to ask you a question. Great, brother. I want to ask you, what do you think about – I see the boogeyman popping up again, you know, the ISIS boogeyman, and, you know, we always create some boogeyman that's going to be coming to get us. You know, what do you think? Because I've never had a chance to build with you on that. What do you see going with all of this violence and it seems like these beheading on these radio networks? I've been seeing a lot of false flags and a lot of that media being exposed by the so-called underground media. I mean, the people's taking over media. You gave the people phones and technology, man. They come out with a story in an hour. They're like, nah, that's not true. That's that person over there. That person died 50 years ago. See that over there? I mean, it's unbelievable. So I wanted to get your take on the current state of affairs and hear it from you, Doc.
It's a good mix of good and evil. I sometimes get mad at Facebook, and then sometimes I get on Facebook and say, wow, how much knowledge is on there. So it's a dichotomy of trying to analyze both. We are definitely being, mostly what we're seeing is manufactured fear. It can be easily disputed. I tell anybody just like this, and the reality is, how scared are they of Islam? When you are in, and we talk deep over here, when you in the knowledge, you know the first thing after you get past 32, you're putting on a fez, so that goes for black and white. How scared of Islam are you? Can't be too scared.
Oh, that's true.
Can't be too scared. So it's either manufactured for fear to get the people who are ignorant to believe that they're creating a war, for them to create what I consider bogus dictator laws that are going to, if we keep playing with this, will erode everything that we're talking about tonight. Because the people have to stand up to what is right. Because we're under a dictatorship right now. We just don't really understand it. It's there. Anytime a man can write an executive order, so as long as they've been writing executive orders, that should be a sign to everybody. You know, executive order means you bypass everybody. So, you know, this is where we at. Right now, the reason why I'm with you on this, because this is simplistically the name of the game is commerce. And if the consumer, it used to be a show called Sims. I don't know if y'all from New York, but us in New York know it used to be a clothing store called Sims. And it said a smart consumer is a smart shopper. And that means they want you to shop at Sims app. I'm plugging Sims because they had something more designed. The designer clothes used to be in Sims that would be on the rack in another store for $100. It would be in Sims for $40. So we're saying you have to be smart with your enterprise of money. And unfortunately, we have not learned it. And returning the channel because of people like yourself and others, I'm one who don't take no credit for what I do personally. All I do is bring the esoteric information to the people to make a true conscious understanding that, but what you're saying is true, but I want you to know there's two sides to everything, everybody. There ain't no just one side. These people have created two sides to every story out here. And his story is real, but it only can stay real, people, if you want it to be real. If you want these people to take over and do everything, then you keep playing with it and don't go about what these brothers and sisters are doing who are fighting in the trenches. They're giving you what they consider I consider fighting manual, because they can't go against so much of their own works. First of all, they know that commerce removes everything. They ain't about to destroy everything. You know, they want us to believe that everything's going to be gone. Let me just say this to everybody before we go into some more of this. Economically, you know, I understand what I played for you today was something I played for everybody because I wanted people to know that the government has played a cruel trick now. I'm not going to tell nobody that they haven't. They have devised methods of giving people upper hand. And I tell anybody that if your interest rate, and I'm going to tell you something, brother, you take it how it is. If I gave you 3% and I gave you and you gave me 5%, who going to come out better, you or me?
Oh, yeah.
You got, yeah, so you're going to come out better regardless of how dumb you are. You could be dumb as hell, but if I gave you 2% interest rate and I gave me 10, you know, I could be a genius, but guess what? I'll probably have a minute to come through all that. This is where we at. That's why we got to have these type of conversations, these type of shows like yourself, provocative.
But what about the wars, Drybone? What about the wars and the condition of the violence in the country? What do you think about that? What is your take on that? Because I respect your opinion.
My thing about wars, I've said it, and we all wars are banker wars. Ain't been no war other than for bankers.
Oh, indeed.
That's it.
That's right.
Every war. And so y'all understand that. Ain't a war on this planet that has not been hooked up to a banking cartel. That's manufactured. That means it's made to be for the interest of others, not because they have to take over resources of to help people. It's not about helping nobody. There's no democracy being played in this. It's about bankers' interest. And so that's where we at, unfortunately, until the people understand. That's why commerce is such a powerful game, because without the bankers, it's all connected. All this is connected, banking, commerce, shipping. It all goes back to the Medici's, black folks in Europe fucking white women to death, having babies of mulatto descent called the Jacobeans. That's where we at. That's where we at. Now, when y'all come on Sunday, we'll break it down real simple for y'all because it's not hard. Until we change our mindset, because there's no such thing as color. The colors are made of an illusion. 3/4 of the earth is of color. That does not mean anything. Because I know some of the meanest people on the planet Earth from India who can't stand you, and you the same color. So it has nothing to do with color. It's about class, money, and power. I can tell you that right now.
So this ISIS thing, Brother Drybones, what is that about?
Is
that spookism or is it for real?
It's spookism 101. They got to have a boogeyman, like you said earlier, to go into the area so they can call in troops, so they can take over the continent of Africa with AFRICOM, which everybody forgot that it exists. And right now they're taking over major parts of Africa based off this Ebola plague that they're putting in place because they need minerals. They need those minerals that we talked about on Sunday, y'all, because without the minerals, you can't not have a computer. You can't have a cell phone without coltan. You can't have these electronics without the metals that are in place in these areas of the earth. And so what they do is they go in there, and this is when we get into land grants and all the other stuff we all talk about, land grants and the right of passage and manifest destiny. Well, this goes way back, brother. I know you know that already. I'm just hollering now, but this goes way back. Manifest destiny has never stopped. That means that they have deemed land for themselves. Now it's called eminent domain. I just left New York, and it doesn't even look the same no more. Harlem is almost taken over. You know, these are laws that I kind of want to know how, you know, but a brother is yours, and I can't blame you, of course, because you're one person. Just think of all of us who are involved just jump together one day and have our own think tank. And send, don't have an ego. I'd rather send you to talk for me because you know what? My ego don't need to go that route. Now, if I'm going to talk about history, I can handle that. But if I need a person to talk for me in court, we need to have a person like you. Why? See, our egos don't want you to be up there talking for me because we egotistical. Sure. Instead of saying, this brother is able to do the talking, he'd be the part of the think tank, but we can't have you the only one. You know why? Because our foolish people watch you get taken out and say, oh, man, that brother was a good brother. Too bad he's
You're exactly right.
can't be just you.
You're gonna get me started, but you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Yeah, can't be. You got to have. We got to have a legion of brothers and sisters today. We can't have a one person mentality no more. It has to be ended. The one person mentality. That's why I play that Dr. King, because see, when he said we're going to get the check, the next day he checked out. He was killed the next day after that speech. I hope everybody who listened to that 1 minute 18, he was killed the next day.
Wow.
Okay? So y'all understand quite well why we don't have a brother. We're not setting our, I'm not here to set our people up like we used to, let that one brother or sister go. We watch him get taken out. The next thing y'all know, we'd having a funeral talking about how good he was. Oh, he was a good dude. Didn't he do good?
Right.
He taught us a lot. We don't need that no more, brother.
So, Jarvis, you're saying they go over there in Africa, they spread the Ebola out, they kill thousands of people to what? To take over the land? Well, I mean, what's wrong with having people on the land?
What happens with that is the land is where is the possession of holds at. Now, they, of course, after they get the land, they have made agreements with these black kings, bro. Don't fool yourself. There are many blacks who are in cahoots with them. I've always said that. See, I hate us. See, that's why we can't be double-minded. See, it's called, the scripture said the first should be last and last should be first. It's the reason why we last. It's called reciprocity.
Mm.
What you do unto others shall come unto you. If you think that we were first, then we had to teach them how to do things first. That means we taught them how to do slavery. See, people don't want to make that distinction of how slavery started. You know, slavery started because a couple of black folks calling themselves Moroccan Moors or Saracens or Avars went up there and said, hey, we can trade these white hoes all over the earth. So we'll create harems, and then we ship them out to the Asia. And we forget this because that history has been cut off from us because it's on purpose. It's the reason why black people don't wake up right away. Because when you are not given full history, you can't wake up. You're given a pacifist history, a modern history. That's why they call them to the moderns. They want us to always be crying about what's been done to us instead of saying what we've done to ourselves. And the minute we wake up from what we've done to ourselves, we'll find out they're not even the power no more. That's the problem. Mm. They're not the power. We the power. The power is we gave it up. And to this day, we have still given it up. And now brothers like yourself and sisters all over the country, y'all brothers and sisters who are out here doing your job, never give up your power, to especially the ignorant niggas. I'm going to be honest. I did a show called Negrophobia. And it's alive and well. Every rebellion we had, brother, was done by a black person telling on us. Every single one.
Mm.
Now, if y'all can find me one, the only rebellion that has not one show has ever been told on radio except on DryBonesConnected.com, that was the Beacon Rebellion, which is a fifth show on how blacks and whites banded together and destroyed a tobacco company in America until they decided to say, hey, let's make white folks first-class citizens, because at that time, white folks were scum of the earth as well. So this is where we're at. We have to know history to move forward. Otherwise, our people will be a deluge of derision, not realizing how we got here, and it's hard to get a people to move forward until they understand where they came from. And we just didn't come from slavery, but we also produced. We did a show one time, brother. I want you to, if I can do it with you on that show, if I can show you some of the slaveholders that were black in America, you'll be almost in shock.
Wow.
You'll be in shock.
Wow.
I believe it.
You'll
be in shock to know the amount that was in New Orleans, how many black slaveholders were in New Orleans that were ruthless.
Wow. New Orleans.
But we don't like to deal with that because it makes us have to talk against the NAACP, which was created by the Khazarian Empire, for the liberalism that we are experiencing today in America. Liberalism is ruling America, and if y'all study liberalism, you understand why these laws are somewhat fishy. But I say this much. The Constitution that they did have, the organic Constitution of the so-called United States of America, and it's the so-called United States. The federal government has only power on the federal land. It has no power outside of federal territory, and none of your houses are on federal territory at this time, everybody, believe it or not. So y'all
take a look
at that. It's called a U.S. Code Book. I do have one. I just don't act like I know what I'm talking about. I just let people presume I'm dumb. But it's called, the next Bible will be the U.S. Code. Y'all look it up. Everything's in the U.S. Code. That's a book that goes along with the book the brother's talking about. And I suggest everybody take a look at that with the consumer credit. I've been to court on a few occasions, and I will say this. It is not for the weak of heart. If you are a very weak, timid person, you do not want to be in there. So that's why brothers like him are at your disposal. And hopefully we can network, brother, and get more people involved. Let me get some more calls. I got a few more. Anybody want to make some statements while we still have the lines open? Because I will be closing down shortly. But, brother, let me tell you, give us the – you have any more – I think you had a webinar. Who's doing the webinar, you or Brother Doss? Which one are you doing at?
I believe Brother Greg is doing – Doss is doing a webinar this Saturday. I'm not doing one this weekend. I'll be doing one the following Saturday, but you can reach us at DebtShow, D-E-B-T, show@yahoo.com to get on our mailing list. Yes, DebtShow, D-E-B-T-S-H-O-W @yahoo.com. Get on our mailing list. You know, I send out good information. I don't send you a bunch of baloney, a bunch of advertising. You know, I send out information that I believe is relative. And it's not all about debt. You know, as you see my show, we've transitioned into other areas that deals with the people economically. So we're talking about many things. Child support is one of them. Traffic tickets, things of that nature. You know, we're just giving the information. We're not telling people to go out and be renegades and barbarians, but we just want to educate you so you know what you're dealing with. We don't want to put you in a position to where, you know, you're going to harm yourself because of the information. Because a lot of people get angry with the information drop on. I'm telling you, tell them a little something, boy, they be ready to fight. You know, they be ready to go out and demonstrate their knowledge, but you got to maintain.
That's right. That's why I said, you know, what you're doing, and I commend it, because one of the few people that I will actually get on the line and start listening to that really makes me say, and I scratched my head last week and said, he got to come on, because that's too good. We got to get this on. And again, Credit Man, Akila, Brother Tony, Brother Sean, Brother, they got Brother Himotep up there in Lakeland. Let's get together off.
Yes.
This station and talk in our own down home way, and let's start to do something that is going to be productive and help. I say, but that when we meet everybody, put the eagles down, because guess what? We all in this boat together, mm-hmm. and this commercial ship is sailing on some serious seas. So let's all make that happen.
Yeah.
Before we go, I got Sister Keela. You want to say something before we leave? I got Brother Sean, you want to say something before we leave? And I got 5744 before you leave. Go ahead. Any one of you.
I just want to thank you guys.
Go ahead. Keep your first. The next.
I just want to thank you and Sharif for coming on the show. It's great. And I hope the ministers come on to your site and take heed to all the wonderful information you have to offer.
Thank you, sister. Next, sister.
Appreciate you. And I know you visit me, so I appreciate your support.
No problem.
I heard somebody else out there. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say today they had something on Facebook. This is tomorrow in Atlanta with Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm actually from Chicago, but I live in Atlanta. And they were talking about how they were sending in the troops and sending in, giving them military equipment, but how they're going to put 18,000 black men in jail and or kill them. I was going to send Brother Sharif that because it's absolutely deep when he talks about it on his third segment. That's coming up, how we are in our community. Everything is underlined. Everything is a setup for a purpose as to take out our men, now to take out the women through all this crazy reality shows and just everything. So, you know, this has been an enlightening call. Thank you very much. I love you, Brother Sharif. Thank you, Dry Bones. It's been very educational.
No, I appreciate that. And I want
you
to know something.
Love you.
That we're going to discuss that on Sunday as well. If y'all join us on 10 o'clock in the morning, we want the women to know, you under what is considered, it's a worship of y'all that is more powerful than you can imagine. Because not only is that worship powerful, the woman worship has always been a powerful entity in the ancient world, to the point where now the men is now turning into women. I know y'all may not understand that right now as I'm talking about it, but the female principle is at all high right now. The heavens are opened up. We have a blue. I will talk about this next week on the show. We have another blood moon coming in October. That is the second blood moon. You have four blood moons. Those are the menstruation of the women principle. And when you have men now who are turning themselves into women, you do not know how much power you have. You do not understand the power. Men are now becoming the Baphomet. Next one. And I will end the show after that. Who's next?
Yeah, I got to hear that show because I see it.
Yeah.
I will be in attendance.
Yeah, this is a power that people don't understand. It's not that it's no more man. The man is just dying. They're bringing in female principal at all high, and she is ruling, not knowing she is, but they are parenting the men. And like I say before, it is going to be something that you would not believe, y'all. It's happening. Atlanta, Georgia, I always said this, and I will continue to say this. You live amongst the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control. Are you Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
It behooves you to find out what they have done. We just found out they have been shooting black children with autism shots. This has been reported. You have no idea what they did to your water. You have no idea what they did to your water. I guarantee you. Check into it. You'll be shocked what they did to your water. We're going to leave tonight. I thank this brother. I thank everybody who's been involved with this show tonight to make it a success. We are going to say, let the mighty Thor come into your house with the hammer that is coming from the heavens that this brother is bringing, which I call the sheriff, because that's the highest law enforcement officer. We have Brother Sharif tonight. We thank you, brother. Keep yourself doing and keep yourself going. And make sure you stay in touch with us, man. Let's make that thing happen like we said we was. Good night to the family
indeed,
out there.
Brother,
all
much love
States.
To you, dry bones, to your community,
yeah,
man.
Thank you, man. Yes, yes. To everybody, let's keep it and let's have some pride, y'all. We need pride today. We are people who have lost our whole pride. It's time to regain it. It's time to make it happen again. And we can do that. Teach the young people. That is what we got to do now. I hope, brother, you get a whole ministry of young people and start teaching them that we are the lawgivers.
Indeed.
Peace out, everybody.
We got to love ourselves, y'all.
Saying loud when I see wrong, somebody's keeping songs from being strong. Music abuse when the sick gets used. Now look at all these young people confused, Lord. I've even seen old folks applaud nonsense that we cannot afford. Flashback, now ruining some box with sex and teen pop equals hip-hop stop. Our young world stars don't know who they are. Slapping rap down from high art, here's a start. Y'all know better than that. You know why? Cause y'all better than that. Give them hope, give them love, get them pride instead of turning rap in a little old trap. Not some character, know what I mean? Get some character, human beings.
Give me some pride, Lord. Make me feel proud of myself. Let me walk with my head up high. Let me know that I'm fly. Instead of wearing my clothes and the jewelry that don't do nothing for me. Cause I got the best one. I wanna walk tall.
survive, dog. To survive, yeah. To survive. Yeah.
Is it me? Grown folks acting like kids on TV. Ballin' trying to be what they see. Sitting around sipping BE, no different than MT, Reality trying to murder me. Oh, say, I think they still cannot see. Tired of social media asking me, Chuck D, what you think about this policy? Wanna do something for the people, make us equal instead of being creatures with human feet. With human feet, you say, I'm a plan.